that mourns in lonely exile until the Son of God appears. Oh, come thou day spring. We enter into God's gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas. We'd like to recognize first-time visitors today. Is there any in the middle section here?
I believe we have a number of people in the middle section, first-time visitors.
Welcome. Have any first-time visitors on this side? All right.
A return visitor. You were here one day and Bob got sick and he had to leave, so we welcome him back and hope Bob don't get sick again, okay?
Okay, the announcements are printed in your bulletin. Does anyone have any special announcements? Any other announcements?
On the 12th of this January, on Wednesday night, we'll have a presentation of a process to discern God's will or to attempt to, and it's called Touch the Future, and Reverend Tommy Jobe will be here to lead that introduction. It'll be an introduction to the process, and we hope in the season of Lent, beginning early in April, to spend 6 weeks on Wednesday night in a Bible study / discernment process to discern God's will for the immediate future, maybe for Deacon's Church, and maybe some long-term plans also. Also, we have a special guest coming in on Saturday, January the 22nd, Sunday, January the 23rd, for a mini revival, mini being a short-term revival, two services, but we encourage you to pray for that and be expectant, and when we're expectant, something happens with God's people.
Okay, thank you. On January 12th, it's real important that we get a very good showing. We'd like to get 60% participation in the Touch the Future process that we'll go through in Lent. We really need it for the church. It's very important. So if you can, please attend that orientation and then through the Lent season. Registration books have been passed out. If you would, please put your name down. Put 1015 up in the corner. Do we have any praise or prayer requests? Any additions or deletions to the prayer list?
Thank you. Most of you know we've been working on the process of getting Yaroslav Sepeda and Amelia immigrated, so those names are familiar. Please put the family on your prayer list now more than ever. Sepeda was in a severe car accident on the 24th, the day before Christmas. of the five in the car, she was the most seriously injured. It appears she has a brain concussion, probably whiplash, either a broken or a severely injured foot, and a bruised face. No doctor has seen her because the doctor that was on duty that day had already seen his, according to Garrisall, his obligatory 10 patients that would not see her. So she has not been seen by a doctor. She's had some x-rays, and they wouldn't even read the x-rays. So she's still in the hospital, and today is her birthday. So please keep the Yahtzee family in your prayers. Thank you.
Yes, Mike.
I'm hungry to talk this morning, but I don't want to be wrong. I've been sick some, and then my work is taking me away. It's so good to be here this morning. And I must ask, are you allowing God to hold your face in His hands and just to warm you? Or to hold you close and through your heartbeat? To hold you when you tremble? Are you listening to God? Are you seeing the way that He wants you to go? Are you stopping what it is you're doing in your life and letting God take you where He wants you to be? I hope you are. As we get ready to begin a new year, we really need to renew ourselves and to give ourselves to God, because He gives us Himself to us every day. And I want to say that it's such an honor and a privilege to be loved by God and to be loved by you. I would ask you to pray for a friend of mine, Kenny Webb. I think I put Kenny on the prayer list back in October. His son was seriously ill then and wasn't taken with it. And in fact, he did pass away last weekend for blocking. I cannot remember Kenny's son's name. He lived in Washington. No, not now. He passed away with brain cancer. And I'm so sorry for that. I've known him almost 19 years. And then on the other side, I'd ask you to pray with me this morning. Another co-worker of mine, Diane and Jack Burgess. Diane and I worked together. She's lived in Mount Pleasant. Diane's son, Michael, her youngest son, graduated from Martin College last Sunday, a week ago. He is going to be a missionary to Seattle, Washington, which very much needs missionaries there. He's Baptist. Some of the Baptist organizations are going to build a church there. And I can't remember the exact position that he's going to have there, but he will be a missionary there for years. And I thank God for Michael. And he's been serving God since he was a small boy. He actually preached some sermons at his church when he was like 10, 11, 12 years old. He's very educated in God's Word, and I thank God for him. And I just got to tell you, I thank God for this church, and I thank God for the privilege of being with you this morning. And again, I thank you for listening to me and praying for my presence. I love you all.
Anyone else?
This Bobby Vaughn's sister is Frances Earlene Carruthers Berry. This listed in the paper yesterday. She passed away on Thursday, I believe it was, the 23rd, which would have been Thursday. The memorial service will be at First United Methodist Church in Lebanon at 3 o'clock on Thursday. 3 o'clock on Thursday. At the First United Methodist Church in Lebanon, and that's Frances Earlene Carruthers Berry, B-E-R-R-Y, and it was a cremation, and so they, and due to the holidays, etc., it was necessary to wait this long, possibly part of it being the cremating of the remains. Betsy Wilfer had a number of broken bones, slid on the ice. That is Matthew's mom. And that's her.
Let's pause for a moment of silent prayer as we begin our worship of God. Amen. Called worship this morning. The prophet promised, the virgin will give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel, from Elijah 7:14.
that down. You.
Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was from the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, who was great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the inn.
Please stand and join with me in singing Joy to the World, and we will sing all the verses.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her King, let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns, let men their souls employ, while tears and blood, truth steals and flames, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Hint and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the throat. He comes to make His blessings flow, for as the curse is found, for as the curse is found, for as the curse is found. Truth and grace, and make the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders of His love.
Let us bow for prayer. Lord God, we come into Your house to worship You in truth and in spirit. And Lord, we come remembering the longing, the waiting, even the pleading from the people of old. Lord, we know that You came in the person of Jesus to fulfill the prophet's promises that were from You and spoken through Your prophets. And Lord, we come this morning to celebrate the birth of Your Son and our Savior. And Lord, we pray for the leadership of Your Spirit in our midst. We pray for every word that is spoken, every action that is taken, that it would be to Your honor and to bring glory to You. Thank You for the privilege of being a part of Your family. Thank You for the salvation that is offered through Jesus. In His name we pray, now praying as He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing and turn to number 133 and sing together, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and let us sing with angelic voices this morning. Express our faith in God with the Apostles' Creed, our statement of faith. It's 7:16 in your hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it's now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
If you will, we're going to do a medley of carols. And the first song we're going to sing is 132, so if you'll turn in your hymnals to 132, and we'll sing one verse of that one, and then the next one, I'll announce it as we go.
Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly sing.
Now turn to 152, and we will sing the first, third, and fourth verses of I Heard the Bells.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day, carols familiar, carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head, there is no of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Yet hear the bells more loud and deep, God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men.
And then just right across the page, 154, what can I give him? I don't know if I know.
What can I give him? Poor as I am, if I were a shepherd, I would bring up.
Silent Night, the first verse.
Catherine singing a solo.
We actually have, they called me the dictator yesterday because instead of celebrating Christmas, I made them sing. So I've got my sister and my niece and my daughter, and we're going to sing How Far Is It to Bethlehem? And we really have only gone over this a few times yesterday, so it might be a little rough, but it's a beautiful, beautiful old hymn.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's beautiful. Miss Andrea. Children, come on down. And there will be children's church today. We express our thanks to God. Our offertory sentence today is from Psalms 54:6. I will sacrifice a freewill offering to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. The ushers, please come forward.
Thank you.
hear God's word. Our scripture lesson today is from Matthew 18 through 25. The birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in his mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Thank all of you this morning who have led the singers. Children's story lady who is so faithful. And I'll write about it in the newsletter, but you're thinking the same thoughts that I'm thinking, have been thinking, and we haven't talked about it, I don't think. Didn't remember it if we have. And let's talk about Joseph. Joseph. A few days ago, somebody asked me, "What happened to Joseph?" Well, there's a lot of legends. And you could probably go to a Bible dictionary and turn to Joseph and find some of them. And now the thing to do is go to the internet. Go to one of the search engines and type in Joseph, husband of Mary. You'd find more than you'd have time to read today, I'm sure. And I didn't do this. But let's think about Joseph. What happened to him? He's part of the Christmas story, but his participation in the Christmas story is so short-lived, is it not? Very little about him. The last time we see him in the Gospel is when Jesus was 12. The family was in Jerusalem. In the second chapter of Luke, real early in the Gospels, they went to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, remembering when the Israelites had been freed miraculously from the bondage of Egypt. And the Jewish people went every time they could to Jerusalem to remember, to celebrate. He is mentioned in Luke 3, but only in the genealogy. So we really don't see him, you know, who is who was born to who. And then in the fourth chapter, he is mentioned again, but he's not there. It was, Jesus was doing great things, and people were amazed, but they were a little bit confused, and they said, "Why isn't this Joseph's son?" Some references to him that I discovered in the Thompson Chain reference section said, pointed out, the Bible says it concerning him in chapter 1 of Matthew, verse 19, that's there before you. That implies that he was a very charitable person, caring person, a very loving person. See, in the Bible, in the King James at least, charity is translated love, or love in our language is translated charity. If you want to prove that, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 read the King James Version. It says charity. Everywhere the modern versions has put love. But he cared for Mary. He did not want to put her to shame. Though she was unmarried and with child. He was also a man of faith. He trusted what the angel said to him. In chapter 1 of Matthew verse 24. You notice he did what the angel said. So he was a loving person, a charitable person. He was a man of faith. He was man of obedience. The angel said, go to Egypt, and he didn't try to change where he was supposed to go like Jonah had done. He went to Egypt. He trusted, he depended on God to be speaking through that angel in 1:19, and then in 2:14, he went to Egypt. I'm sorry, 1:24, and then 2:14, he went to Egypt. And he was faithful to his religious duty. In Luke chapter 2, as we see him in Jerusalem, he was faithful to his church. He went to Jerusalem, a number of days' journey, every year, the scriptures say. Jewish people were required, if at all possible, to get to Jerusalem at least once in a lifetime, and hopefully more. If you were able, go every time you could. He was faithful to take his family and go to the temple to celebrate the Passover. We might say of Joseph, he was full of grace. He was not one to punish. He didn't want to hurt Mary in any way. He had no desire to hurt her. He did not want to destroy her reputation because he thought he would put her away privately, as quiet as he could. Look at the scripture passage, if you will. It's printed there before you, or you can open your Bible if you have not a copy of it. And there's two things I want to dwell on this morning. You are blessed maybe with a two-point sermon. I might make three out of it. One thing I understand about Joseph, he did not understand. He did not understand what this was all about. He couldn't comprehend it. But after his dream, after he had the dream, and God spoke to him at least three times in a dream, I counted four. Found someone else's sermon and read it, or a portion of it, and said he had three dreams. Well, I think he had four, at least three. I won't argue with the person over it, because the fourth mention of it said that God had already revealed to him in a dream. But after his dream, he accepted the situation with Mary being with child, and he knew that it wasn't his. He accepted that as being right and good, because God had spoken to him through the dream. And he then was willing to be a part of it. He didn't understand it yet. And I relate to that to my lack of understanding about so many things. How much do you understand about the Christian way or the sacrifice of God in Christ? The sacrifice of Christ. Yeah, concerning salvation, my understanding is so limited. And I just compare that or contrast it, compare it to Joseph's lack of understanding concerning what God was doing through his bride-to-be, through Mary. Salvation. Forgiveness. That Jesus brings to us and offers us even today. Do you understand it? There's so much about it that I don't understand. There's so much about God's grace that I don't understand. God's unmerited favor, unearned blessings. Do you understand it? Jesus dying for me. Do you understand it? I don't. Why would He want to? Paul says, scarcely for a righteous man, maybe for a good man. But for sinners, for enemies, Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. Comprehend that? Explain it to someone? Jesus leaving heaven. Wow! We just know just a little bit about heaven, but Jesus leaving heaven and come to the earth that He came to. It wasn't near as nice. The conditions were not. They were primitive. It wasn't near as nice as we think we have it today. We consider ourselves. An inn. I discovered somewhere even this week that the inn that there was no room in might have been a big fenced area. Just a fenced area. An enclosure with a fire in the middle of it. And that the innkeeper, there's only one phrase about him. And it's not about him, it was about the inn. You're so on track, Andrea, if I understand it. We have one little phrase and we've made him out to be almost a beast. Good theatrics, but terrible theology. But it's great in a Christmas play, especially for that guy that feels a little gruff. But it's so, there's one story about the innkeeper. He just couldn't turn Mary and Joseph away. And he said, just come on in, just come on in. Have you read that story? It's been floating around. Ruined the Christmas story that night, but it was such a inviting thing. But the inn may have been an enclosure with a fire in the middle of it, not a place to have a baby. He was doing them a favor possibly by sending them to a cave, possibly a cave, the stable. It was not uncommon for animals to be housed in nearby caves where it was warm. And there's nothing contrary to Scripture in that. There might be contrary to what we see built along the side of the road to depict the stable scene. Whatever. But Jesus leaving heaven and coming to earth to such a condition that He came in. And then God allowing Him to take the punishment when He could have called down legions of angels. Scriptures say that. That He could have called down legions of angels, many, many angels, to do battle for Him, to save Him from the punishment. And God allowed it to happen. And He allowed it to happen to Himself. I don't understand that kind of love. Most of us don't. I don't understand God showing mercy to us, to sinful people. But I don't have to understand it. That's good. I don't have to understand it. I just have to claim it to receive it. And then to thank God for it. And thank Jesus that He provided it. I'm just so glad that forgiveness is available. That salvation is available. And that it was meant for me. And you. I'm a little bit gladder that it was meant for me than I am that it was meant for you. I'm real glad that it was meant for you. But if it had to be a choice of who would be saved, I'm not as good as God is, as Jesus was. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. And I don't mean to say that I don't like you at all, because I do. live with you for all these years. But, you know, I don't understand God caring so much for us because I haven't attained that level of caring yet. Pray that I will. Pray that I will. I'm so glad that His blessings through Christ was meant for me and for you, though. And for you also. You know, I really don't understand, though, how Jesus entered the world. I don't understand this. Impregnation by the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit shall come upon you? Joseph didn't understand it. I don't understand it. But I do believe it. And people say it's impossible. Well, it may be with men, but it's not with God. Yes, I don't understand how pregnancy could happen like it says in the Bible that it happened. But I don't have to understand it. I just believe it. You know, there is so much else about God and His action that I do not understand. These are only a few of the things, these that I have mentioned. But Isaiah kind of explains it back in the Old Testament. Isaiah says that God's ways are not our ways. Why is that? Because we just can't think like Him. Isaiah chapter 55. Verse 6, we read this. Hear these words. It says, verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." And then verse 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." These unrighteous thoughts that we have. Let us get rid of these thoughts. Think of something else. Let us forsake them. And let Him return. Let us return. The wicked person return to the Lord. And that God would even want us to come to Him, wicked as we are. That's strange, isn't it? That a holy God would want us to come. But He does. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have compassion on him. God will have compassion even on the unrighteous people, the wicked people, for He will abundantly pardon. See, Isaiah told us about it. And then verse 8 kind of explains it. Or that we don't have to understand it. Or why we can't understand it, maybe. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, or neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." God is different than us. God is higher than us, greater than us. God is holy. And then verse 9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth." And we can all see that, can't we? And the reader or the listener to Isaiah can see that. The heavens are up there, the sky, and so much higher than the earth. "So are my ways higher than your ways." That's God speaking. God's ways are so much higher than our ways. And His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. So that says to me, I don't have to understand it. I don't even have to comprehend it. I could just believe it. Is that blind faith? If it is, be blind faith. I'm proud for it. Number two. Number one is Joseph didn't understand. Number two, this matter of Mary's pregnancy, and that's what we're really dealing about in this passage, that was something, or that was a matter that could bring forth much embarrassment for Joseph. Embarrassment about the things of God. Embarrassed about God's action. And I thought of this, and maybe God planted a little thought in my mind. A great number of people, I've observed this, a great number of people, even experienced it to a degree, a great number of people are just a little bit embarrassed to talk about things of God. Right? They find it difficult. People, church people even, find it difficult to talk about God and Jesus, in certain circles at least. Even when speaking of God, He is often referred to as the man upstairs. We don't talk to him about being God. He's just that man upstairs. Well, he's more than that. He's much greater than just a man upstairs. He is God. Talking about forgiveness. Talking about mercy. Especially men have a little trouble to talk about this. Grace. God's grace. And etc., etc. Sometimes when we start talking among men about spiritual things, it makes us a little uncomfortable, does it not? Maybe the women can talk about this in a Bible study. But us men, do we need to talk about that? And there may be a reason that we don't really like to talk about forgiveness. There may be a reason that we really don't like to talk about God's mercy and God's grace and salvation. It may be even to talk about it is to admit that we need forgiveness.
Amen.
And that's difficult. That's difficult sometimes to talk about forgiveness, because that means that we have been wrong. And nobody likes to be wrong, do they? We always like to be right. I took a Dale Carnegie course years ago in the 70s. One thing that I remember about that course is that the worst thing you can say to somebody, if you want to lose the friendship and the fellowship of an acquaintance, just say to them, "You are wrong." They don't like to hear that. The worst thing you can say to somebody, Carnegie discovered in his research, was to say to a person, "You're wrong." They don't want to hear it. But like it or not, in much of life we have been wrong. The Scriptures say that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Scriptures say that there is none righteous, no, not one. So we have been wrong. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to lose your friendship, but that's the fact, like it or not. And are we a little embarrassed to talk about spiritual matters? Us tough men, anyway. But when Joseph came to understand what a great event he had been chosen to be a part of, I believe that Joseph was about as pleased as anybody could be pleased. See, he had been chosen to be a part of God's great plan of salvation. And I believe that he was so pleased that God had called him to function in that role. That's the way it is to me. Maybe I have a little trouble speaking God's name in a favorable sense in some circles. Maybe just a little embarrassed. Maybe if I think they'll be not receptive to it. When I think about, hey, that's the way I become a part of God's kingdom. I'm so pleased. So please, even if it is a little embarrassing among certain segments of society to talk of religious things, realizing that we're forgiven. Boy, when we realize that we're forgiven of all of our sin, then we can shout, "Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is my Savior." When we realize that we've been cleansed of sin, cleansed of everything wrong in our life, everything unrighteous, everything that would separate us from God, everything that would keep us out of heaven, cleansed of it, washed clean, then we can talk about the blood of Christ. To remember that I've been justified, that I've been regenerated, then we're pleased to talk about it. I believe that when we enter into that heavenly place that Jesus has prepared for us, that it will be such a joy that then we will look back and wonder why were we so silent about Jesus and His love for us? Because then we will fully understand what child this is. Jesus came to earth to be our Savior. Have you trusted Him as your Savior? He wants to be. And we're going to sing one verse of "What Child Is This?" And maybe you want to come forward publicly and say, "I'm trusting Jesus as my Savior." Karen Hawkins united with the church, transferred her membership at the early service. Maybe you are trusting in Jesus and desire to become an official member of this congregation. Maybe you want to do that as we sing together. We've been talking about spiritual matters, and this is a spiritual matter also. It's a part of God's kingdom, known as Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church. Maybe you want to come forward as we sing together. It's one verse, and it's "What Child Is This?" And it's number 137. Dear God, thank You. Thank You for a venue that we can talk of spiritual things. And Lord, let us use this to prepare us to go to the world and give us courage. Lord, and give us faith to trust, even who we don't understand. Through Jesus Christ, we offer our prayer. Thank you.
know.